The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Tuesday, October 9th, 2007, and Presidential Release number 355. You'll notice it's October, which is the fall season. It isn't very fall-like at the moment. It was something like 90 degrees here in Baltimore yesterday, and we haven't had any rain for 23 days, I'm told. Hope we get some today. When we get into the fall season, I always think about how it is that the pumpkin pie season is coming. And I remember Dr. Jernigan saying on one of these releases a number of years ago that there was a poem which said, "There's a heap of pent-up goodness in a chunk of pumpkin pie, and I'm always glad I'm living when the cake goes passing by." And I think he attributed this to the poetry of Edgar Guest, who, if I remember right, was an Indiana fellow. So, may you have a good fall season. I begin this presidential release with the sad news that Doris Johnson, who was a member of the chapter here in Baltimore for many years and for at least a dozen years, came weekly and sometimes more often than that to volunteer her services. She died on October 5. She had cancer. She was a magnificent human being. She got a Distinguished Service Award at one of our conventions, and she deserved every bit of it, so I'm sorry to have to tell you of her death. Mary Brunoli of Connecticut died also on September 24. Mary Brunoli was a very active member of our Connecticut affiliate. She did what she could to bring joy and uplifting spirit to the members of our NFB family. I'll miss her too. And then I should tell you that Rose Ruffalo, the mother of Joe Ruffalo, who is president of the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey and a member of the board of directors, Rose Ruffalo died on September 19. She had been responsible for giving at the banquet of our New Jersey affiliate the Ruffalo Scholarship. Rose and her husband gave money for the Ruffalo Scholarship, which Rose had the joy of giving to scholarship recipients at our banquet. So I'm sorry to have to tell you of the death of Doris and Mary Brunoli and Rose Ruffalo. You might keep the Brunoli family and the Ruffalo family and Doris Johnson's family in your prayers. All very fine people. I'm sorry to have to tell you that they died. I have an announcement here which comes from Michael Freeholm. He says that he is interested in putting together a living history group in the National Federation of the Blind. He wants to collect and to maintain and to make available to people the recorded words and the recorded activities of the Federation. Those who are interested in joining with him and participating in the group should get a hold of him, and I have his email address. It is M. Freeholm, that's M-F-R-E-H-O-L-M, at blindnet, B-L-I-N-D-N-E-T, dot Z-Z-N dot C-O-M. So there is an announcement from Michael Freeholm to create a living history group. I have here an announcement that comes from Anil Lewis. Anil Lewis is the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Georgia. He is a member of the board of directors of the National Federation of the Blind. He has been designated as chairperson of the Scholarship Committee of the National Federation of the Blind for 2008. His announcement says, "The National Federation of the Blind will give 30 college scholarships to the nation's top blind students in its 2008 NFB Scholarship Program during the annual convention next year. These awards include the $12,000 Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship, one scholarship in the amount of $10,000, two scholarships for $7,000 each, four scholarships for $5,000 each, and 22 scholarships for $3,000 each. Each winner will be brought to the NFB Annual Convention next July at Federation expense and will receive other useful gifts. Blind students, legally blind students, from high school seniors to graduate school attendees are advised to go to our website, www.nfb.org/scholarships, for complete information on who is eligible and how to apply for the 2008 NFB Scholarship Awards, or those who wish information may call the chairperson for print documents. If you want to do that, contact Anil Lewis by calling his office in Georgia at 404-371-1000 or send an email to scholarships@nfb.org, and the S, the first S in scholarships, is capitalized, as this appears to me. That is scholarships@nfb.org. Please note, all scholarship documentation must be received by March 31st, 2008. So says Anil Lewis, chairperson of our scholarship committee. I had the joy this last week of traveling to London for meetings of the World Blind Union Executive Committee. The World Blind Union has 6 regions, and each region has 4 members of the Executive Committee. So off I went to London to participate in those, to think about what kinds of programs should be created around the world to assist blind people in gaining independence. The World Blind Union came into being in 1984. It was a combination of 2 organizations, the World Council for the Welfare of the Blind, which had been first organized in 1949, and the International Federation of the Blind, which first came into being in, I believe, 1964. Those 2 organizations joined together in 1984 in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to form the World Blind Union. And the World Blind Union has been a gathering of people with such different views of what should happen or what can happen for blind people that there's been argument and chaos during much of the organization's existence. Nevertheless, we get some things out of it, and so we continue to participate in it. This time, there was less chaos and less trouble in the World Blind Union meetings than I think has ever happened in the whole history of the organization. One of the participants is Lord Colin Lowe of Dalston, who is a blind person and who is chairing the RNIB, Royal National Institute of Blind People, in London. It is the organization in Great Britain to support blind people throughout the country. It has been a service organization. In more recent times, it has had a lot more participation in governance by blind people. And Lord Lowe was, this last year, made a lord. He had been the chairperson of RNIB for some time. He had taught in the university. He has a legal degree. He has done much to support programs for the blind in his own country. As a member of the House of Lords, one of the things that happened was that he invited us to the House of Lords and also to the House of Commons for a tour of the Parliament. We did see the Parliament, and it was beautifully done. And then we had dinner in the dining room at the House of Lords, and it was a spectacular good meal. The Lords do eat rich, I should tell you that. Not only did we have a good time while we were in London, but we made some plans for the 2008 meeting of the General Assembly of the World Blind Union. Probably this particular quadrennium of the World Blind Union will be best remembered because we have, for the first time, a structure within the organization that gives possibility for long-term growth and development. There is an office which was established in Canada, and there is an ongoing set of governing standards that have come to be part of the organization. The presidency lasts for 4 years, and there is no possibility of a president succeeding to the office for a second term, so there's been some dislocation each 4 years as a new executive tries to take over, but we now have a permanent office, or what is known as our office, with an executive who operates in that office in conjunction with the president, and it gives some continuity. The next quadrennium is probably going to be directed at how we can develop independent organizations of the blind in different countries throughout the world, and how we can get programming of the World Blind Union. While I was in London, I had great joy because I could tell people. I knew that this was happening when I went, so I was telling people on last Wednesday, this is October 3rd, about our demonstration which was being put on in Baltimore, Maryland, about quiet cars. There are regulations being adopted in Maryland which will encourage the purchase of quiet cars by government and also will encourage the sale of quiet cars in the state of Maryland because there are such low emission standards that quiet cars will come to be one of the desired commodities in our state. We had a piece of legislation adopted in the last General Assembly that said that the impact of quiet cars, and I use that word deliberately, on blind people should be considered in the process of adopting regulations to implement the legislation requiring good emission standards and clean air in our state. There had not been any consideration in more than a tiny, cursory way of what would happen to blind people if quiet cars come on the street. So we plan to have a public demonstration about the quiet cars issue so that we could get testimony into the record and we could recommend that cars make enough noise that we can hear them. There have been many, many, many near misses of blind people throughout the country. John Gonzalez of Iowa told me about how a car ran over his cane, and he didn't know the car was there until it was on top of his cane. And there have been dozens of other people who have told me about them, and there are quiet buses now in New York so that not only can you get run over by a car, but you can find out that there's a bus driving on top of you essentially before you know it's there. Anyway, there are so many people trying to do so much to quiet down the machines that come roaring down the street. We decided we had to have a demonstration, and not only that, we decided to have some dramatization of what could happen. So we brought a quiet car over there, and we had the quiet car appear to run over Rosie Carranza, and then we had a hearse come along, and we took a coffin, and we put Rosie into the hearse, and then we were going to have the hearse come into the hearing area, not into the building itself, that would not have been practical, but up to the building where the hearing was going to take place. When we decided to bring the hearse into the parking area, then the guards put the gates down and wouldn't let us in. So you had 150 people or thereabouts out behind the hearse, all strung out chanting, "Let us in, let us in." And it made a great demonstration of how it is that blind people aren't being taken seriously. And not only that, we had television stations, I think from the local television stations from three networks and also one from Fox that came and took video of us trying to get the point across that quiet cars can hurt people. All of that I was telling people in London. And at the same time, while during the same day while we were pursuing this particular thing, there was a release of a decision in our Target lawsuit. Target is a company that has lots of things for sale, and it sells a lot of them over the internet. We sued the Target Corporation after trying to get them to talk to us. They said they weren't going to spend much time talking to us, so we sued them to say that they had to make their website accessible to us, and we got a ruling from the federal court in California which said that the federal law applies to the internet sites that are out there. And also, it says that in California, there are damage questions that may be addressed. And it said that even without a bricks and mortar store, the internet is a place of accommodation and it has to be regarded as covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act. So it was a huge victory for us. We asked for a class action for all blind people in the United States, and we asked for a class action on the damage question for blind people in the state of California, and we were granted class certification on both issues. A major decision, because not only will it apply to blind people in California, and not only will it apply to blind people in the rest of the United States, but if you can get at these websites from a computer in California, then all the people who sell things from all over the place will have to comply with the law that applies in that state. A huge victory for us, and one that will make a lot of difference to blind people all over the world. It was a joy to be able to say that the work that we have been doing has had such a substantial and dramatic effect to the blind of our own country, but also to blind people in other places. All of that happened last week, and a delightful, splendid week it was. Beyond that, on Saturday, after the meeting closed, I was standing outside a chocolate shop in London, and I got a telephone call. This was from David Maurer, who was calling from the convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado, and he asked me to speak, to call back to a special number which would let me speak to the convention in Colorado, and I did speak to the National Federation of the Blind Convention in Colorado and urged the convention to have a great meeting and to make lots of big plans to do all of the things that have to be done, such as participate in the 2008 March for Independence that will be taking place in Dallas, Texas next summer, and to get convention plans made to participate in the 2008 convention. It was a delightful time, and I am so pleased to be able to report all of it to you and to tell you that the technology is expanding at such a rate that I, with a cell phone in my hand, could address the convention a half a world away. I've been to a number of conventions this fall so far, and I am going to more of them. I've been to the convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Kentucky, and I congratulate the Kentuckians on a great convention. And then I've been to North Carolina, and I saw my friends in North Carolina, including our president there, but also including Hazel Staley, who's been a leader of the Federation in North Carolina and beyond North Carolina for all this huge time. And I was at the convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Arkansas, and that was a splendid convention too, and I'm pleased to have been able to be there. We've had a meeting of the Imagination Fund Committee. A lot of the fundraising that we do comes through the Imagination Fund. Kevin Worley has been managing that committee. There have been a lot of applications for some grants through the Imagination Fund. I'm sure that those grant applications will be out soon, so that if you've made an application very shortly, you'll hear about it, or if you haven't already. There are some very innovative ideas. I participated in the meeting of the committee, and it was a pleasure to be a part of that, but we need to get busy on the Imagination Fund. It's time to start signing up and to get our pledges planned for the 2008 Imagination Fund campaign, so please get ready for that. In the meantime, here at the National Center for the Blind in the last week or so, we had a meeting of the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children. There was a kind of a workshop and a retreat here and plans for next summer's convention and activities. And I am told that that was very successful. I was out of town at the time. I wish I could have been there, but I gather it was a very, very successful gathering. This brings me to the end of the presidential release, and I want to give you a thing that has to do with sort of state fair time, or at least perhaps a little bit to do with the state fair. This is a thing that appeared in the newspaper. It says, the local car dealer, who was known to have taken advantage of several people in the community, informed a farmer that he was coming over to purchase a cow. The farmer priced the cow as follows. Basic cow, $4.99.95. Shipping and handling, $35.75. Extra stomach, $79.25. Two-tone exterior, $142.10. Produce storage compartment, $126.50. Heavy-duty straw chopper, $189.60. Four-spigot high-output drain system, $149.20. Automatic fly swatter, $88.50. Genuine cowhide upholstery, $179.90. Deluxe dual horns, $59.25. Automatic fertilizer attachment, $339.40. 4x4 traction drive assembly, $884.16. Pre-delivery wash and comb, $69.80. Farmer's suggested list price, $2,843.36. Additional dealer adjustments, $300. Total list price, including options, $3,143.36.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.